medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshal, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. Back with me this week, and most weeks, is my friend. Just kidding. Uh-oh. It's not Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. But instead, this week, we have a fan and community favorite, Clayton Seeley, back with us.
Fan is kind of stretching it.
Oh, I don't know. I saw your ratings. I'd say fan.
Indeed. Yes, I will be playing the role of Paul today.
Oh.
Like I have.
I'm sorry.
Since he's been gone at work.
Right. Yeah. Well, just so everybody knows, Paul is actually doing presentations and custom meetings in Australia and New Zealand this week. So I figured it would be not very easy to try and coordinate that time change.
No, he didn't take us with him.
I know. How rude.
Yeah, really.
Oh, my gosh. Right? We'll give him crap about that. Oh, we are. That's right.
Right now. Yeah.
Yep. So when he listens, he'll get to hear it. Yay. It'll be a fun. So how are you doing this week, Mr. Seeley?
Yeah, good. I mean, it's good. Monday for us here, so that's
right.
Yeah, it's off.
It's Monday.
Yeah, dealing with a lot of security things that we're supposed to deal with internally. So it's been a couple of weeks for us.
But yeah, I can understand that security. Yeah. It's always a fun thing, and it seems to be on everybody's radar. So I get it.
And then I get a couple extra meetings, like I said, because I'm being Paul this week. So that'll be.
I know, and an extra a podcast recording in here too.
I know, have to cover every base. Yeah.
I know, right? Well, this week we're going to get geeky with it, and we're going to talk more about logs.
Yes, I don't know. I know you were able to talk about logs without bringing somebody in that knew what they were talking about. So,
all right.
Yeah, I guess I'll do. Yeah, I guess I'll do too. But no, I heard your podcast and you guys do a great job as always, but I was going along and I was like, okay, well, we told you about how, we had a project to enable people to be able to turn on their own debug log for their own user logging. And there was people in your audience at Blueprint that were like raving about it. And I was like, well, why didn't you mention that? And it's probably because you haven't turned it on for yourself yet. So you don't know. So yeah. But yeah, back in that when we did the simplified upgrade centralized web tier project, which was, I don't know, about release 9.2.9, so just a couple of releases ago, that's where we actually moved the web server off of all the development clients, which is, you know, a big deal. That's a lot of resources that got moved off. But when we did that, we were like, oh, wait. Developers use this actively to debug their sessions and they have their own logs locally, and we still need to be able to provide them that logging to be able to get to their logs up on the centralized web server. And so we're like, oh yeah, well, let's do it. Let's make a way that they can actually go through and get to their logs. So we created a new application, and that's what they were telling you about at Blueprint, was this P98 to 101W. And if it's enabled properly, then the developers, the end users that are also Server Manager users can be able to establish what they want to do in as far as logging. They can set their log levels, they can retrieve their logs, download them, retrieve and do what they want with them at that point. So pretty cool stuff. And that's all without an administrator, if it's all enabled. So that's what's like listening to your podcast. It's like, why aren't you mentioning that? So I had to, I'll hop on and help you.
Did not know about that application. Just so I just actually went into my lower environment and FastPath there, and I get a message that says, to use this application, HTML server must be configured for web development.
Exactly. So there is some configuration that's required. And again, your user ID needs to be configured in Server Manager to be able to do console work, which is the very minimum that it can do. Now, the reason that we then the reason that we have that is because what happens is the HTML server is actually making REST-based calls back to your server manager. So we're leveraging our digital transformation tools that we've created. We're kind of behind the scenes making it so that there's cool interaction between the web server and your connection and your web client to be able to actually set the logs, get the logs, and do whatever you want to do. So that's been a pretty neat little tool that is, I had no idea that people were as happy about that as what they said at Blueprint. But yeah, I wanted to try and check that out and work with your administrators to get that enabled if you're on 9.2.9 and above. So,
and that basic level of server manager doesn't allow me to go in and like make changes to the INI files or do any sort of jazz, right? It's just more like a basic level that allows me to basically connect to it, or what?
That makes it so that you can make those server manager REST calls, number one.
Okay.
And then what happens is what we've enabled that user to be able to do is to be able to manipulate what's called the jdlog.properties file. The jdlog.properties file is what establishes what logs get created and what levels and what are the trigger point, you know, what it's actually doing the logging for. Now, way back when, we created it so that you could just do it for your specific user and not impact the rest of the users that were connected to that web server, which is kind of a big deal. When you turn on logging, you don't want to do it for everybody. You'll want to do it for your user. So with this application, it's just going to establish a debug log. You know, whatever you're setting, it's only going to be for your user, for your session, and not impact everybody else. Another big part of the centralized web tier that we rolled out is we wanted to be able to make sure that, you know, if you turned on debug logging, you're not tanking all the other developers that happen to be connected to your system. So,
yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Let's not have that much logging.
Sometimes we think ahead. I mean, it'll still hurt, but yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
Not as bad as it could. Then the other part I was thinking that you guys would be great to mention is what we also did in 9.2.9, as it turns out, which was we had this really cool tool that developers used to use called Performance Workbench. So, and obviously nobody on the podcast can see this, but we'll drop you a screenshot of what it used to look like. It was this old Windows application that was created by one of our legacy developers. His name was Chris Papineau. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago, aww, but this was his baby, this Performance Workbench. So he was one of those developers and consultants as he moved on from Oracle that just lived and died off of analyzing performance of JD Edwards. And so he had this tool called Performance Workbench, which you could feed any log file, a JAS log file, or, you know, from the HTML server or from an enterprise server kernel log file, and be able to change different metrics, change thresholds, and be able to pull apart that log file and then put it into something that was a lot more comprehensible or actually understood. And from there, what you could do is see where things are being called like a million thousand times that you probably didn't mean to call a million thousand times, or see where thresholds are exceeding a certain amount of time that it shouldn't be. Like, that should be actually firing a lot faster, but we're seeing a bottleneck for something taking, you know, 10 times as long, or, you know, just a couple of examples. So anyway, this Performance Workbench application was a Windows-based application that developers would run on their workstation, right? On their Windows workstation. Mm-hmm. Over time, We got some calls and we got some security bugs against it. We're like, oh yeah, we can't maintain this anymore. Here's an idea. Why don't we just inject it into Server Manager, the logic behind it? Because what it does is it goes out and makes you pull down the log file, run it through this Windows routine, and then it will produce everything locally into some other files. We're like, well, that's silly. The log files are up on Server Manager anyway. Let's just go ahead and embed the logic in the Server Manager and allow you to then visualize, you know, the output files from there. So that's what we did with 9.2.9, and then we closed the gap with probably Q2 last this year, maybe last year, I can't, everything blurs for me, but we finally closed the gap with the iSeries. So we have all the platforms supported now. But the main thing was to get Windows and Linux out the door. That happened with 19.9. Then we double back and finished the iSeries because that was, of course, the first question out of everybody's mouth was, hey, why isn't this work for the iSeries? So, yeah, exactly. So let me kind of show you it in, and sorry, listeners, you can't see it, but I have access to a server manager console. And what happens if you're on 9.2.9? Like, you can see all the enterprise server logs, all the HTML server logs as you go into one of the instances there. And, you know, I don't have anything very big, but maybe you do. Maybe you have a debug log file that you've created because you reproduced an issue and you want to go through and see, you know, why something's not performing very well. So you find your log file. And if you notice, you've got this button at the very top of the available logs. Section called analyze. That's new to 9.2.9. Also, if you dig into the log file, if you just click on the log file, that's in order to go download it. There was another one that should be run performance workbench on the log file.
So
there's a couple of different ways to get to it. So if you click on run performance workbench, what that does is drop you into another screen, which will provide you all the options that you previously had on that really busy Windows application that we had to deprecate. And so this is where you can twist all the knobs and turn all the levers in order to finely tune what you're trying to look for. Like, maybe you want to change the parsing level up or down. Maybe you want to change the parse level, the timing gaps, because again, that's something that we actively look for, is if you have a performance problem, you want to see where something is taking too much time. And so you want to set the timing gap so that it just it removes all the other garbage out of the log file and just shows you where something's taking too long and identifies it for you. So there's lots of cool things that this can actually go through and do some high-tech analysis over that log file, which has a bunch of mumbo-jumbo in it that we recognize, that, you know, all that, we parse through all that noise and just produce for you what we think is important based off of the levers that you're pushing here within the performance workbench piece.
So let's circle quick back up to the parse level. I know in the drop down there were like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I was going to say, for those listeners that aren't really familiar, what is a parse level?
It's different than debug levels. So the nice part about putting it into Server Manager, we leverage the inline context help. So if you click on the I button, then you'll get information about what each one of those levels does. So parse level one says, give me business function counts, the number, the times it opens and closes. Okay. Then number two will give you all the select and inserts. So it'll weed out, depending on which level you're at, all the other calls, because you're not wanting to see those. You maybe just want to see maybe select and inserts and stuff like that. So
Paul calls those CRUD. Create, record, update, delete.
Yeah, exactly. So we just leveraged, if you don't know what it is, that's cool, because we didn't, you know, we're not fully documenting it. We're just actually putting it into the contextual help so that you can help, you know, try and understand. But more than anything, this requires you to play around with it, because you maybe will find, you definitely want to start at the upper levels and see what it produces for you, and then narrow yourself down far as, you know, maybe there's still too much noise in there and I don't want to see all this. And so we can start to twist some of these knobs to get it down to a level that I do want to see.
Okay. That's awesome. Very cool.
All right. So if you click on the, you know, once you got your lever set, you click on the analyze, didn't take very much time to do. This was a pretty decent HTML log file. So it was 10 meg at least, and it had a couple of child with it, but you'll see what happens is it will go through and actually, do the parsing and produce some summary stuff for you. So I just click on here, I click on the summary one to get me started. And again, within Server Manager, because we have an interface, this allows you to actually, you know, look at the summary file in a nice way with some additional links into the other files. And it will drill down into, you know, where we think that you may have to go through and pay some attention to where business function calls are, or that, again, the parsing times are over the thresholds and stuff like that.
Very cool. That's really cool. Yeah.
And of course, when I mentioned I would talk about this with Paul, he's like, well, you could just take the log file and dump it into AI and or do it. And I was like, yes, Paul, you probably could. And eventually AI will probably be, I'll have all this logic built into it, but I doubt it really has it right now. But hey, maybe someday, you know, if I have my way with Server Manager, we'll have the capability of being able to make these calls from an AI tool that would be able to get you into the log file and then allow it to do this type of similar analysis. But today, this is what we've got, and this has been working for several decades now, which is Performance Workbench. So,
right, exactly. Yeah. And my mess was something that works really well.
Well, I mean, that's fine. Well, we got other tools. You know, it's always fun to figure out new tools in the future. But right now, this is where we're at. So,
very cool. That's awesome. That was very helpful. Okay. Yeah, and for those of us like I don't have access to Server Manager here at my current employer. My last employer, I didn't either. There was talk about getting me access to it. Quite frankly, I was a little scared. Maybe someday we'll do a Server Manager series so we can walk through, you know, because I think I'm like, oh boy, that I could really mess something up. And I was like, we'd have to, I'm like, I just want complete read-only access if we're doing that.
Yeah. And that's kind of also what we're working on with the future versions of Server Managers to create some what I like to call the developer access to it, because yes, we started this with the development in the centralized development web tier, but we're going to be moving more and more into Server Manager, and so I felt like there's going to be more and more that the developers need access to in Server Manager, and so we're actually going to be creating a different group with different permissions just for developers, and you know, probably BAs and other people like that group that isn't necessarily an admin but would need a different interface and still have some access and be able to do some cool things like log file access and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think there's a lot of crossover in the developer slash BA space where they're, you know, BAs want to be empowered to be able to get to this information, but, you know, they don't want to be empowered to be out there coding. We might be able to understand bits and pieces and understand logic, but we're just not going
to
be out there.
And I don't want you to be afraid that you're going to wreck something. So
exactly.
But being able to put up those bars, put up those little, you know,
guardrails,
the guardrails for the, you know, for the alleyway. Yeah. It's a good way of putting
it. Yeah. Here, you can go in this lane and stay in this lane. This is all you get. No, that's phenomenal. I'm glad to hear that. It's nice to hear, and obviously something that, you know, I would promote for me to have that access, because I know I do a lot of things where, you know, I am looking at logs, but sometimes I need somebody else to run them for me. You know, sometimes I can run basic ones, but I might need different logs that can be provided through here. So,
and if you do not have access to Server Manager, that's fine. You could have your admin do this. We still have a way that you could capture all the resulting output and download it into a zip file, and they can send that back to you so that you can look at the output locally and, again, run your analysis tool outside of Server Manager or whatever, you know, run it through whatever AI tool you want as well. So, you know, there are ways of still leveraging this in a way that makes it so that the log file isn't completely overwhelming to you, and you can still get in and probably do a lot more, no damage, but at the same time being able to understand what's happening as things are going through. Because I know it's me as an administrator, I don't understand how the apps process works. I can tell you where I'm seeing the calls and then what business functions being called or what database calls being done, but I don't know why or when that's actually being hit, where you guys probably would be able to understand that better than me. So
absolutely. That's why I always said it's a team effort between, you know, the CNC, the developer, the BA, when it comes to troubleshooting. It is so much of a team effort, because even I found a lot of developers don't necessarily know the application.
Yep.
You know, and know what things are being clicked when necessarily. They can tell through some of the code, but I feel like that's where the value of that BA can come in to be like, oh, I know what the user's doing right at this point.
Yep, absolutely. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's been, I've had numerous times where I've needed my system admin or CNC to help me decipher some of this as well to say, okay, what is it doing right here? Because I have no idea. Oh, well, it's accessing this and that and that. Oh, okay, thanks. Perfect. It is helpful. And I feel like the more we can empower people, the better. You know, I hear what Paul's saying about AI, but I also know it doesn't know JDE all that well, and results may vary, or it may hallucinate. And I have had to call it on some hallucinations at times when I've asked it questions about things. I'm like, I actually know this, and I know what you're giving me is not the correct answer. Can you please cite your sources? And
right.
It's like, yeah. I can't.
Yep, exactly.
Like, see, you just made it up.
And this right now is not doing any analysis except for timing and based off of numbers. Mm-hmm. So like if you are telling it to say, give me what calls are going through and taking too much time, well, that's real fact-based stuff because it's just doing math. So yes. It understands what to pull apart and what to show you. And again, it puts you in a much more understandable format than just the standard log file offers.
Yep. Exactly. Very cool.
Cool.
That's awesome. Well, right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate this. It's very helpful. And I look forward to being able to empower myself.
Someday.
Someday.
Got to work Someday. With the admin. Please give me some access. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Please. I'll be like, can you go listen to this episode? You're going to know what I'm asking for. And I love my admin. So he's going to be like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Mr. Franklin.
I'll work on it.
Need something from you. Yeah.
Right. Mr. Franklin. Yep. He's phenomenal. So it's awesome. Love it. If you're running JD Edwards, InFocus 2026 needs to be on your calendar. Join the JDE community September 21st through the 23rd in Denver, Colorado for 3 days of education, networking, and insights into what's next for JD Edwards. Get an early look at Release 27. Learn how Oracle is enhancing JD Edwards with Redwood. Explore AI enablement opportunities and understand upcoming platform support changes that could impact your roadmap. We'll also be covering topics like orchestrations, automation, OCI, security, and modernization strategies from customers and Oracle experts. Early bird registration ends August 14th, so register now before rates increase. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus and join us in Denver. All right, so, I mean, as usual, we can't wrap up an episode without a Midwesternism. So this week is a term that I actually asked Paul to, because I wasn't sure if it was a Colorado term or not, because I know this is...
Term.
It's not, you already know. Yep. We talked about it before we got on, but the term is crick, which I
don't even
heard.
Think you're saying it right.
Crick.
Crick.
Crick. Which is definitely in parts of the Midwest. It is a creek, or it could be a small creek.
Definitely
so like
a creek.
Yeah. Right. You might grade your creeks. If it's a crick, that means just there's really small. If it's a creek, it's bigger. Because I have noticed everything out here in Colorado since moving. Well, first of all, there's a lot of creeks.
Yeah, well, we don't have the big rivers like you do out in the Midwest.
Right.
So they're all starting up here, and getting bigger.
Yeah. So. It was one that I was like, I had heard, I can't remember where I heard it. I just heard it recently. And I'm like, oh, that's a term that I forgot about. So I was glad to hear that it was not a Colorado term. I didn't think it was
a Colorado term. No.
Yeah, definitely. I think now more so in the Midwest that's like a generation above. You know, a term they may use. Like I remember my grandparents using it with the stream or creek or whatever that ran in the back 40 in the pasture. You know, it was a crick. I'm like, oh, okay. We're going to go play in the crick.
No, okay. I agree. Yeah. 'Cause as I was telling you, I have bad flashbacks now of my assistant high school principal at the, 'cause we have two high schools in the area here in Colorado that are called creek. And the assistant principal, every time he got on and on microphone, Bear Creek. And we're like, what? We're Bear Creek, dude.
Creek.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's two E's.
Creek.
Creek.
I in there. There's no
I. No, exactly. There's no I in there. All right. Well, for questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
Oh, I have to say toodles for Paul.
No, you have to say see you.
Oh, see ya. See ya.
There you go. I love it.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.